Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." You may be seated. Father God, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful institution of the Eucharist, the Lord's table, the communion. It's called many things, but really it is a table of Eucharist, thanksgiving, which is what the word Eucharist means, right out of this passage, giving thanks for this table. So Lord, we just ask that you would bless this message to our hearts. Help us to see your example, Lord, as we continue on in our Christian life, especially as we enter into a thanksgiving that really should be throughout the whole season, through the whole year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've got my quote there on the worship folder. "The latitude of your gratitude shows the altitude of your attitude." And we've been talking throughout this series on Mark about kingdom living, about kingdom faith. And kingdom faith reaches the highest altitude in gratitude. If you want to know what gratitude really is, it's the highest altitude of gratitude is in kingdom faith. Now, our faith is to be thankful in suffering. And we know that because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But this latitude that we're talking about, this latitude is stretched farther when we are thankful, or our thanksgiving, when our thanksgiving covers even the sufferings themselves. And we say, well, is that scriptural? Yes, it is. Ephesians 5:20 says, always, not just part of the time, but always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do not and we never thank God for the sins which cause suffering. We've got to remember that. We've got to make a distinction. We never thank God for sins because they are actually negative non-entities, really, in the kingdom of God. There's nothing like that in the kingdom of God. So we don't give thanks for sins that cause suffering, because sins are from lies. They come straight from lies. And in a Satan-deceived world, in a world of suffering, it's a world that's very much Satan-deceived. We hear lies all the time. And you can tell a lie when you've heard it. You've heard it's politically correct again and again on the news, and then the next year it's flipped and the lie, and it's another politically correct thing comes up. It's just another lie that won't last for very long, but it's right now motivating everybody. So in a Satan-deceived world, truth confronts lies at the cost of suffering. Truth confronts lies at the cost of suffering. Now, we thank God that Jesus came into this world to destroy the devil's lying works and all the results of his lying works. But when we do that, when we thank God for that, our gratitude is for his choice to suffer. And we don't usually think about that. Our gratitude to God, our gratitude to Jesus, his Son, we're thanking him for his choice to suffer. And that's amazing. But the whole idea here is kingdom faith faces earthly suffering with thanksgiving. And we have to say, his thanksgiving for what signified his coming cross, that gave us the example to follow. What did he do? He as he was initiating this Eucharistic meal, this table that we come to, which is a table of thanksgiving, he taught us how to offer thanksgiving for a body that can suffer for truth. A body that can suffer for truth. Verse 22, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take it, this is my body. So Jesus gave thanks for a Passover meal, blessing it. I have to tell you something about the literal Greek in this in Mark, not in the other Gospels, but in Mark. He uses the word bless rather than, it's translated give thanks, but it really is the word he blessed the bread. He blessed it. And Jesus blessed those who caused his suffering. He was blessing this Passover meal where he was actually, it was a sign of his own suffering as the sacrificed lamb. But he also was telling us to bless those who cause his suffering. He said, wait a minute. Bless those who are causing the suffering? Well, he told us to do that. So we know he did that himself. In Luke 6, it says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If we hear, and you have to remember that the word hear in the Greek and the Hebrew, they both point to the word obey. So if we hear, then it expands our gratitude latitude. Our gratitude latitude gets pushed out the edges, and we say, you mean it can take in all those people that caused me suffering? I can thank you for them, Lord? That's what this passage says. That's what his instructions are. So, in a fallen world, in a world that's under the sin curse, and also in these sin-cursed bodies, we have pain. How many have experienced pain in your sin-cursed body? I have, and I'm still... I remember when I had my ankle, it was twisted in a wrestling match in high school. And I screamed out so loud, and the coach got angry at me for screaming, but my leg, oh, it just turned blue and swelled up, and I tell you, the pain was terrific. Well, the pain told me something. You know, in this world where we suffer, we have pain because we have these things called pain receptors. They're built into our body by God. And these pain receptors are very interesting because when something's not right, when something's not behaving accurately or true to its origin, then these pain receptors scream something. Something's not right! That's what they scream in our head. And sometimes we scream it out in our voice. But thank God for pain. Thank God for physical pain. We say, oh, come on, David. No. I don't thank God for physical pain. Listen, pain will tell you the truth. It will tell you the truth that something is not right. Something is not true to form here. Something's wrong. And it tells us the truth about our injuries, and it tells us the truth about our illnesses. Why? So that we will maybe sometimes rest our bodies and not do something that makes the pain, and we rest it long enough, it gets well. Or maybe we can seek help. I need somebody to help me. The devil's work of lies leads to sin in this world, and sin produces suffering. Now, without suffering, we would be happy with the lies. Oh, that's okay. The lies are all right. I'm okay. I'm still all right. I'm happy. And if we didn't have suffering, we might not mind our sin. Sin's okay. Look, nothing's happening here. I don't suffer for my sin. But sin causes pain. Sin's pain says something is wrong. And it helps us to say, I need God to fix this. I need God to help me on this. I need God to get me out of this. Well, the spiritual help that we need comes from Him who suffered to destroy the devil's work of lies, which is behind the sin, which is behind the suffering. We're thankful for His sacrifice, as He was, and He expressed it at the first Eucharist that established this, the Lord's table. But we ask the question, can we really thank God for dysfunctional pain? Pain that keeps on shouting something's wrong when we can't do anything about it, when nothing is going to fix this side of heaven. We're going to put up with this chronic thing the rest of our lives unless a miraculous healing happens. And that, my experience has been that He doesn't heal everybody. He lets us go through this. So can we thank God for that too? And I thought about that a lot. Because the pain, what does it say? Something's wrong, right? I believe we can actually thank God for the pain because the pain reminds us of something. We have not arrived yet. This down here is not home. Oh, sometimes it feels like home, and God's grace gives us a lot of blessing in it. It's not home yet. So when you feel pain, thank You for Your reminder, Lord. I'm not home yet. I don't have to focus so much on this world. I don't have to keep grabbing. I don't have to keep saying, I'm investing everything in this world. No. This isn't home. The pain tells us that. The pain tells us that. And as we look at that, we say, man, if I've not arrived yet, then Jesus' word is true. He reminds us this. He reminds us, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And how did He overcome the world? Through suffering. And that's why kingdom faith faces earthly suffering with thanksgiving. And Christ is our example for another thing. He taught us how to have thanksgiving, how to offer thanksgiving to God for a life that we can sacrifice. We can actually sacrifice our lives. It's our choice. Not, we're not take our lives like suicide. No, but we can lay our lives down for others. In verse 23 and 24, then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And he said to them, the Old Testament sacrifice was based on a principle. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Have you ever noticed that we say this, they bought our liberty, they bought our freedom with their blood. And what are we meaning? They gave up their lives for us to buy our freedom. Well, Jesus gave thanks for His lifeblood being poured out to make a new covenant. The Old Testament covenant. In the Old Testament covenant, God was on the outside. God was on the outside. But in the New Testament covenant, God came on the inside. He is now living within us. And when Jesus sacrificed His lifeblood, it was so that He might have His life inside of us. His lifeblood flowing through us in this new covenant. Praise God for the new covenant. The new covenant caused suffering. So Jesus, living inside of us, still says this. He still says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then he adds, take up your cross and follow me. Those two things. Lay down your life for your friends and take up your cross and follow me. Now, Jesus isn't done laying down his life for his potential friends among the lost. If he had been done, we wouldn't be here. You know, if he'd been done after he left, we wouldn't be here. All of us were at once, one time, you know, running away from God, and he got a hold of us. But now, he wants his life poured out again for them through us, who have his lifeblood flowing through us. Ponder that. Ponder it deeply the next time you drink the Eucharistic cup that represents his blood. It's a thanksgiving cup for partaking in his what? In his suffering. Partaking in... In fact, one place Paul calls it a participation in the body of Christ. In his body and blood. Now, we might be thanking God for Hebrews 12:4, which says, and it's still true for us today, in your struggle against sin, in your truth-fighting sin, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In other words, you have not died yet. You're not done yet fighting sin. You're still alive. You're not dead yet. But Jesus wants us to have this kingdom faith, a faith that gives thanks as we ourselves pour out our lives for others, even if we suffer in doing so. And the secret of our success in doing that is to maintain the same focus that Jesus had. He had, and he showed it to us in this passage, he had a thanksgiving for the future he was going to purchase, and then for us, we say, that he suffered for. The future that he purchased by his suffering. He was thanking God for that because he said in verse 25, I tell you the truth. I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you. I will drink it with you in the kingdom of God, in the fulfilled kingdom of God. So when he gave thanks for his sufferings, and when we give thanks for our sufferings, whether they come from a struggle against sin or from our lives being poured out for others, it points to a proper focus. It points for us to focus our minds, focus our lives, focus everything we have on one thing. And that is given to us in Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God in the throne of God. It's complete. That's why he said on the cross, it is finished. It's done. He's there now. Focusing on Jesus and our future with him in the kingdom of God puts our earthly, physical, emotional, relational sufferings in their proper eternal perspective. And what is that? It's really spelled out for us in 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18. For our light and momentary troubles, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Our suffering is temporary. It is temporary. It will not last. And it is far outweighed by our glory that will be revealed in us in Christ. Kingdom faith faces earthly suffering with thanksgiving. We give thanks that despite our sufferings in this life, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We give thanks for our opportunities to suffer. To suffer with Jesus. Not just to suffer, but to suffer alongside Jesus in destroying the works of the devil by pouring out our life in service to others. And that's what's really we do when we do that. We're pouring out His lifeblood in us. His life that He gave us, that we participate in when we have the communion table by our faith. Not by drinking something, but by our faith we participate in this life. And we pour out our lifeblood in service to others and in fighting sin and lies. And finally, we give thanks for our future focus on a fulfilled kingdom. Right now we have the kingdom of God in our hearts and we're living in a world that doesn't recognize God's kingdom. But someday we're going to be there. It's there already in heaven and God's going to bring it down. But right now it's a future hope and we give thanksgiving for that hope. And that's what Jesus did. At this first communion, at this first Lord's table, this first Eucharist, He gave thanks for what was going to happen because of what He was doing. He wasn't just giving thanks for suffering in itself. He wasn't giving thanks just for the idea. It was the idea that when truth conflicts, faces, fights, does battle with lies, there is suffering. He showed us that. And he thanked God, His Father, for the result of that. And also, the apostles, they encourage us to do this. And I can conclude this message with no better exhortation than that of the Apostle Peter's in 1 Peter 4, 12-13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Let's pray. Father God, we want to enter into this Thanksgiving time. There are people that we've lost. There are people that I'm still grieving for my niece and for Peg and for Carol that we just lost this last week. Lord, there are painful things in this life. And each of us knows that pain. Off and on we have physical pain. Off and on we have relational pain. And many times we have emotional pain. Things that are things in our past that maybe we haven't really released to You yet. They still bug us. We still get angry when we think about them. Lord, we want to release all of our hostility, our bitternesses, everything, God, we want to release like You did from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And have thanksgiving for the idea that we can be associated, identified with Your sufferings. Thank You, Lord. Let us be thankful as we enter into this Thanksgiving season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.